has been, who am I? Who are we? Whose are we? This is one of the most famous stories of the Bible and perhaps the greatest story ever told by Jesus. And today I want to enter into this story through the roles of the younger son, the older son, and the father. One of my pastoral colleagues from another church this past week said, "Don't forget to talk about the definition of the prodigal. The definition is recklessly wasteful or extravagant." And so this is the story of the wasteful younger son who wasted his inheritance. This is the story of the wasteful older son who wasted his time with bitterness, jealousy, and resentment. And this is the story of the wasteful father who wastes his love on both of his sons. The first phrases of today's gospel text, I hope for you, are intriguing. "Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, 'This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" All the riffraff is listening to Jesus. And who's grumbling? Ah, yes, the Pharisees, the religious people. And some of you have heard me say this before, but I need to say it again. The religious people often are us. And we Christians, if anything we need to be careful of, is becoming rule keepers more than people keepers. What were they grumbling about? "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So right from the get-go, as we try to enter the story this morning, let's try to put ourselves in the place of the sinners, the place of those who come near and listen to Jesus. I'm using Henry Nouwen's book, The Return of the Prodigal Son, as the guiding book for today's sermon. And the context of Nouwen's book is this. He spent several days with Rembrandt's painting in the late 80s, the painting called The Return of the Prodigal, and you have a portion of that painting on the back of your bulletin this morning, so I'll invite you to keep that in front of you as we enter into the story here. And Nouwen has this spiritual experience where he recognizes his role as the younger son, his role as the older son, and then a renewed call to his vocation of being the father. And so quickly, let's talk about entering the story through these three roles. First is entering the story through the younger son. I know we're not all younger sons or younger daughters, or the opposite, older sons or older daughters. But I think even as we try to recognize that we're human, that we find that there's parts of our lives where we fit into each of these three roles. Isn't it true that in some sense we're all wasters? We waste time, we waste money, we waste talents, we waste resources. And some of you are saying, "I'm not a waster, I'm quite efficient. I'm a type A personality, thank you very much." But even type A's, even the efficient people, even the hardworking people end up wasting time, because I think I'd like to suggest we live in this world that wastes against us. I was thinking to a couple weeks ago when I thought I would help my son, Chris, by helping him with his PowerPoints for his school presentation. And so I put the kids to bed. He had given me some data so that I could just simply insert some video clips into the PowerPoint. Put the kids to bed, thought this would be a quick project. And here I am with all the efficiency of a master's degree, a doctorate, and I'm trying to convert files in cyberspace and then put them into this PowerPoint into a format that will be accepted by Microsoft PowerPoint. That's an evil system in itself. And so I'm trying to be so efficient, and yet the time is just wasting and wasting and wasting and wasting away. As I keep on trying to convert this file, and then I keep on trying to put it into PowerPoint, and it keeps on turning upside down. And so at 3:30 in the morning, I give up. And maybe that's how you might enter into the story of the younger son this morning. Give up and get up. In verse 18 of today's text, "I will get up and go to my father," says the younger prodigal. And the place you and I maybe need to go as we embrace this role of younger son is to give up, to get up, and then place ourselves at the feet of the Father. It's a posture of humility, it's a posture of neediness, it's a posture of brokenness. But it's probably a great posture for us in these final weeks of Lent. Nouwen writes, "The young man held and blessed by the Father is a poor and very poor man. He left home with much pride and money, determined to live his own life far away from his father and his community. He returns with nothing. His money, his health, his honor, his self-respect, his reputation, everything has been squandered." Depending where you're at in the congregation, you might be able to see or not see this picture, but perhaps after service, you might take a closer look at these different roles that we see in the story. The second way to enter the story this morning is through the role of the older son. I'm not an older son. I'm a youngest child, so I need to be careful not to make wrong assumptions here. But I do recognize that I'm prone to be a Pharisee. And it's interesting that in the Rembrandt painting, the older son is dressed similar to the father. But there's some noticeable differences. The posture. The father's posture is bent over and welcoming. The older son stands straight and strong. The distance, the father's directly in contact with the younger son. The older son stands off to the side. The hands, the father's hands are laying on the shoulder of the younger prodigal. The older son's hands are clasped in front of him. The eyes of the father are doting and devoted. The older son's eyes are fixed, firm, and full of thought and judgment. What does it mean when we enter into the story of life with suspicion and resentment, mistrust and envy? What does it look like when we waste our lives away by cultivating anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness in our hearts towards others? Why do we prefer to hang on to death rather than prepare the way for reconciliation and life? This is the life of the older son, self-righteous, and might I add, darned proud of it. When we enter into this story as the older son, it's not so that we feel ashamed of ourselves and embarrassed. It's so that we can see another perspective on how we are wasteful and our neediness to be welcomed as lost souls who have squandered God's blessings. Nouwen puts it this way. He says, "Not only did the younger son who left home to look for freedom and happiness in a distant country get lost, but the one who stayed home also became a lost man. Exteriorly, he did all the things a good son is supposed to do, but interiorly, he wandered away from his father. He did his duty, worked hard, fulfilled all his obligations, but became increasingly unhappy and unfree." He became increasingly unhappy and unfree. So we can enter the story through the younger prodigal. We can enter the story through the older prodigal. Lastly, I would say that we can enter the story through the prodigal father. And in this final section, I want us to reflect on the role of the father and focus on the two hands, that central image in this larger image that we see this morning. And the focus is to just reflect and see how those two hands are different. And this is what Nouwen pulls out. There's two hands of the father, but there's one hand that's more masculine and there's one hand that's more feminine. Nouwen writes, "As soon as I recognize the difference between the two hands of the father, a new world of meaning opened up for me. The father is not simply a great patriarch. He is mother as well as father. The father, he touches the son with a masculine hand and a feminine hand. He holds and she caresses. He confirms and she consoles. He is indeed God in whom both manhood and womanhood, fatherhood and motherhood are fully present. That gentle, caressing right hand echoes for me the words of the prophet Isaiah. Can a woman forget her baby at the breast, feel no pity for the child she has borne? Even if these were to forget, I shall not forget you. Look, I have engraved you in the palm of my hands. Karen, our children minister, talked about safe places. These are safe hands. This is a safe home. And if you've been reading the Lenten devotional that we recommended this season, it's called From Fear to Love, and it's also based on this Return of the Prodigal story and painting. And Nouwen makes this statement in that devotional: all I want to do with the whole story of the prodigal son is to give you an image of safety and return to the place where it is always safe. This is where we can return again and again. This is where we can let our body, mind, and heart rest without fear. We can be strong, we can take risks, we can do new things when we know we can always return to the womb of the one who calls us son and daughter. As we close this morning, I want us to take some time to reflect on what it might mean for you and I to live in this story, in these three roles. To enter in as the younger son, to enter in as the older prodigal, but then finally to enter in as the father. And recognize that our vocation as believers, as people who follow Christ, is to be a father, to be that nurturing one who wastes love. I want to read one concluding remark from the book. Nouwen says this: as I look at my own hands, and I want you to look at your own hands, maybe just subtly, or if you feel like you can lift them up. As I look at my own hands, I know that they have been given to me to stretch out towards all who suffer, to rest upon the shoulders of all who come, and to offer the blessing that emerges from the immensity of God's love. So might that be our vocation this week, and even as we pray silently and you have a moment to pray, look at your hands or feel your hands just sitting on your lap and invite God to empower you into that vocation this week. Perhaps God will call you to stretch out your hands to those who suffer this week. Perhaps God will put you in a place where you need to rest your hands upon the shoulders of those who come to you. Or maybe your hands will be hands of blessing this week. Blessings that emerge from the immensity of God's love. Let's pray together. Gracious God, through the presence of Christ who lives through the Holy Spirit, minister to us as we think about being the younger prodigal. Minister to us as we find ourselves in places where we've become the older prodigal. And then call us to be fathers, mothers, and then call us to be fathers, mothers, those nurturing parents who bless and waste love. Amen.